Britain. Britain and Europe, Part 2. Defensive positions. Britain and the EU would both gain from closer ties in foreign and security policy.
Even hard Brexiteers find it difficult to object to working with Britain's European partners on diplomacy. It's a largely intergovernmental affair, not one involving EU institutions or the European Court of Justice, or ECJ. And the case for it has become stronger, given wars in Ukraine and the Middle East, a more assertive China, and the risk that Donald Trump may return to the White House. EU countries also see obvious benefits from closer cooperation with a country with military clout and a tradition of foreign policy activism. As the new Labour government seeks to build a closer relationship with Europe, it's no surprise, therefore, that foreign policy is to the fore. David Lammy, the Foreign Secretary, defines cooperation broadly to take in defence, energy and even the fight against climate change. He plans to attend the EU's Council of Foreign Ministers in Luxembourg in October, a possible prelude to further joint meetings. It's a notable omission that Britain is almost the only substantial non-member of the club with which the EU does not hold regular scheduled summit meetings. Sir Simon Fraser, a former head of the Foreign Office, also suggests that there should be regular staff exchanges with the European External Action Service, the EU's diplomatic service, as there are for Norway. Yet, even in foreign policy, where national governments jealously guard their autonomy, the EU differentiates between members and non-members. That is truer still when it comes to defence. As a member state, Britain was cautious about a greater defence role for the EU, fearing that talk of building up European strategic autonomy would undermine NATO. Yet in recent years, the case for Europe to do more has steadily strengthened. An institutional structure is emerging in Brussels, the European Defence Agency, to facilitate joint projects, a European Defence Fund for research, permanent structured cooperation, PESCO, to coordinate military deployments, and a nascent European Defence Industrial Programme. So far, British attempts to associate formally with any of these have proved largely fruitless. Even joining PESCO has been held up by a squabble with Spain over Gibraltar. Luigi Scazzieri of the Centre for European Reform, a think tank, suggests that Britain should sign an administrative arrangement with the European Defence Agency and pursue more informal links through joint declarations rather than trying to agree a cumbersome treaty. It should be relatively easy for British troops to operate alongside EU military missions in places like Bosnia, for instance. Cooperation on procurement is more problematic. Non-members such as Britain are excluded from the European Defence Fund. Even within the EU, the protection of national champions constitutes a big obstacle to joint projects. Lord Ricketts, a former British National Security Adviser, points to the absurdity of two separate European-planned next-generation fighter aircraft, one that includes France and Germany, the other Britain and Italy. The dogmatic decision in 2017 to exclude post-Brexit Britain from military aspects of Europe's Galileo satellite navigation system is a precedent worth avoiding for other expensive defence projects. It should be easier to work together on policing and domestic security matters. As an EU member, Britain was one of the most active participants in a range of EU bodies, including Europol, Eurojust, and the PROM fingerprint exchange, and the Schengen Information System database. Since Brexit, informal links have continued, but often less effectively. The number of European arrest warrants issued by Britain has fallen sharply, partly because almost half of EU members ban extradition of their nationals to non-EU countries. Access to European databases has become slower and more cumbersome. Data privacy concerns and a continuing debate in Britain about membership of the European Convention on Human Rights, or ECHR, also make cooperation harder. Senior diplomats are hopeful of a change of mood under Sir Keir Starmer, the Prime Minister, whose career as a prosecutor has helped him appreciate the benefit of Europe-wide collaboration in fighting crime. There's no risk of Labour pulling out of the ECHR, and the previous government's worries about associating with EU bodies under the ultimate jurisdiction of the ECJ have dissipated. Given that all sides see much to gain and little to lose from greater British involvement in EU crime-fighting bodies, it should be possible to make that easier to manage. When Theresa May was Prime Minister, she briefly flirted with the idea of using the desire across the EU for continued cooperation over security and defence to secure broader concessions for Britain on trade. That idea fell on stony ground. The EU remains strongly opposed to any such linkage. Even in the relatively uncontroversial field of foreign policy, there are hurdles to deeper ties. But if they can be cleared, trust between the two sides should improve. That can only help to foster a closer relationship elsewhere.